October 27, 2015. I'm here with Professor Schick, a professor in the College of Education. I'd first like to start off just asking where you're originally from.
I grew up in Fauquier County, Virginia, in the southern part of the county, so it was about 20 minutes from like a town.
Did you have any independent bookstores in your town?
We did not. We had the public library.
So did you have to travel pretty far?
Yeah, we would drive. The first time I remember actually going to a bookstore, we had probably driven about an hour to get to Prince William County. And it was pretty amazing to be in a bookstore.
What was the atmosphere like in that bookstore you attended?
I don't think I know, because I was in my own head about how amazing it was that you could just go and buy and keep any book that you wanted. So I don't remember there being sort of sophistication about it. It was just people buying books, and now it seems like a very sophisticated kind of crowd that goes into bookstores.
At what age were you drawn to like loving reading and finding out new books?
From the time I could read, definitely from the time I could read. I grew up in the country, so there wasn't like going down to the park or riding your bike with friends or pick up soccer games or anything like that. So we were like making our own entertainment, and that for me was most of the time reading.
Is there a certain genre that you're drawn to?
Actually, yeah, my favorite is historical fiction. I really, really like historical fiction. I like reading nonfiction historical stuff too, but and I'm glad that I do, because I think I would get confused about the real which facts, which things from historical fiction are facts and which ones are fiction. So I really like to kind of combine my interest with history and then my love for just reading a good novel.
Do you have any time periods in history, or certain like American history or European history that you like?
I actually really like American history up to the Civil War, and even for some part of the Reconstruction. And then once we get to 1900s, not as much. I do like reading historical fiction about Depression era, like family stories, and some of the 20th century time periods, but really more pre-Civil War. I like that kind of stuff.
I know. When I was in elementary school, I read a lot of books. It was like Dear Diary, and it was all historical, like diaries.
I love that stuff.
It was favorite thing to read in elementary school.
I really like to reading historical fiction related to the westward expansion of the U.S. I always find that kind of fun, because there's a lot of adventure and
pioneers. And
the pioneerism is amazing, and there's, you know, drama, because it was such a rough life. So I like that.
So what kind of feelings do you get when you discover a new book?
Well, I get very obsessed, because I want to sit down on my sofa, spend the entire weekend just gobbling up the whole book. I don't want any interruptions. When I start into a new book with a really good plot and I have to close it to go do something else, I feel like I've just turned off the movie. Like, I feel like I've walked out of the movie theater in the middle of a movie. And so it feels really I don't know how to explain it. It's just dissatisfying. Like, I don't want to wait to find out what's going to happen next. I feel like I'm never going to find out the end, because I just left the movie theater.
Can you compare the bookstore that you went to back in Prince County, Virginia, to, like, a Barnes & Noble or a Books A Million now?
Yeah, I think the, if I recall correctly, the earlier bookstores were probably more like closeout kind of bookstores. So I guess, I don't really know, but thinking back on it, it didn't seem like it was this shiny, glitzy, top 10 list bookstore. It seemed like there were just all kinds of books that were current or maybe not so current, books for all ages. Yeah, I don't know. It just seemed like a place for everyone.
Do you have any, like, speculations, or do you think you could define, like, why, like, mom-and-pop bookstores are going out of business and these big franchises are popping up all over the place?
Well, I think that's just the nature of capitalism in our country right now. The companies that can employ people around the clock and can have access to buying in bulk, and advertisement and all that, I think are going to be, and they can carry more inventory because they're part of a bigger company. I don't really know. But I think the Green Valley Book Fair is a good example of kind of a locally owned versus a large franchise. But I think they also buy, like, books that are, you know, they're not right on the top 10 list right now. They're not always the top quality, like dictionaries or things like that. And some of the books have misprints in them, and so I think that's a problem, is that the quality of the stuff people can get and sell at an affordable price is a challenge. Yeah, but I don't know.
Can you give just a reason, like, why you prefer the Green Valley Book Fair?
Sure. Well, because it's affordable. That's the main reason. It's close. It's affordable. It has so many books that you can't even, it's just a tremendous, tremendous selection. It's all books. And, I guess there's gifty stuff and calendars and different things like that. But just the prices, I think. And it's just kind of fun. It's locally owned.
Can you describe what the Green Valley Bookstore looks like? And, mm-hmm. Kind of take us, on a picture walk of what it looks like if we went to the Green Valley
Bookstore. Yeah, the Green Valley Book Fair is out in the countryside in Augusta. It might be in Rockingham. It's on the edge of Rockingham and Augusta, I think. But it is a big warehouse out in the country. You drive rather far from civilization to get out to this, and it's very beautiful and picturesque out there. And you get there, and there are two huge warehouses. One has the estate auction, where they auction furniture, jewelry, all kinds of stuff like that. And then the other one is the Green Valley Book Fair. And it's a huge warehouse. The floors are cement. The books are on pretty primitive tables and bookshelves. Nothing fancy. No glass, no chrome. All wood. It's cold in there. If you go at just about any time of the year, it's cold. It's not set up like a bookstore now where you can grab some coffee, sit in a comfy chair and read the book instead of buying it. You're browsing through tens of thousands of books. And you're standing up, walking through table and bookcase after table and bookcase. It's very, very basic. It doesn't have a lot of advertisements about the books. You just go and look for your books.
Can you explain the role bookstores have played in your educational experiences?
Bookstores. My own learning or as a teacher?
First, let's do learning and then as a teacher.
Yeah. As a kid, I really, really liked to read, which was really different from the rest of my family, so that was kind of interesting. I would often be reading when my parents and my brother were outside doing other things, so I've always really loved it. As a parent, when I was a trained teacher, and then when I had my own kids, I had my own passion for reading and loving books, and never having owned many, I always went to the library. So when I found out that I was going to be a mom, I started collecting books for turned out to be my daughter. And my husband was in the military, and he was at sea for a long time. And he came home, and our daughter, Molly, was less than 2 years old. He had been gone for like 9 months, I think. And I had been getting free books every time I filled up with gas. There was this gas station that was giving little board books, the Beatrix Potter books. So every time I filled up with gas, I got another free book. And so by the time, and I was purchasing books as well, so by the time our oldest daughter was 2, she had about 100 books. And my husband came home from being at sea for 9 months, and he was like, why in the world would a kid have 100 books, you know? And some of them had been gifts, and I'd, like I said, been collecting these free ones so she could play with them and whatever. And so books have always been, as a parent, a tremendously important part of raising kids. And as it turns out, it's kind of interesting because out of 3 kids, only one of them loves to read. They all love to learn. They like school. Only one of them just loves to sit and devour books for pleasure. But they all can read very well, and they can use the skill of reading, in their lives. And so I kind of identify with it a little bit more as a mom, I guess, than I think of as a kid. As a kid, I just remember going to the library every, because I had to go into the nearest town to go to school. It's like 20 minutes away. And oftentimes after school, I'd just go to the public library and I would do homework and check out the next book and the next book and the next book. So I kind of identify more with that. As a teacher, I really appreciated the Green Valley Book Fair, but also the Scholastic Book Order. I guess you kind of call that a bookstore. It's a book supplier.
We had like book fairs.
So yeah, and so I really appreciated being able to. I always taught in schools where the kids didn't really have a lot of money, so it, you know, was a way to allow them to order books at a really good price, or I could purchase books with my classroom budget money and then get points to get more books, and I would sometimes give those free books out to the kids so they would have books to have at home. So I guess I just see it as a really, really, really important skill. I don't think that everyone needs to love to read in the way that I do, but it's an important skill to master so that people can gain access to information. And getting books into kids' hands is the way to kind of get that started.
Now, did you teach in Rockingham County or?
No, I taught in Harrisonburg City Schools at Spotswood Elementary for a few years. Prior to that, I taught in Texas for a few years, and then prior to that, I taught was a mom, a stay-at-home mom, and taught preschool.
So, how do bookstores, like in the community of Harrisonburg, mm-hmm. play a role?
Well, obviously, it's a source of tax revenue and income for the community, so that's a really good thing. It gives people access to books immediately, which is kind of fun. The other thing that I've found as an educator of adult English language learners is a lot of times my students don't know how to get a book they want. So they want a dictionary, an English-Spanish dictionary or an English-Russian dictionary, and they don't know that they can ask Barnes & Noble to order it, and then they can go in there and buy it with cash, because a lot of my clients in the adult program deal in cash. And so to order a book from Amazon is not part of their operating framework. And so when I tell them Barnes & Noble will get a book in for you and then you can go and pay in cash, it's really providing a service to a whole different audience of book buyers. People who don't have a lot of disposable income but really, really want access to books.
Now, have you been to the bookstores in downtown Harrisonburg at all?
I didn't. Oh, I think there's a used bookstore.
So you think most of Harrisonburg, they either go to, like, Green Valley Book Fair or to Barnes & Noble or Books & Noble?
I don't really know what most people do. I would say that if we're just looking at, like, neighborhood, I live downtown, so I think most people use the libraries, either the Massanutten Library or the JMU libraries. I think a lot of people purchase books at Costco. I know I get my summer trash reads at Costco because the prices are so much lower. But I don't know anything about shopping for books in downtown, and it's like in my neighborhood.
So, do you believe that because Barnes & Noble and Books Million are selling these books cheaper because they buy them in huge bulk, that mm-hmm. more people are drawn to those types of bookstores than the mom-and-pop ones?
Yeah, maybe. And I think some people like everything shiny and new, and those stores are usually in shiny, pretty storefronts in fancy new malls. Little downtowns like Harrisonburg are dying, and I think where they can compete with that market, with a market, is with food instead of books, because people can get books pretty cheap on Amazon. You can buy used books, you know. So I don't know. I think there are different kinds of people, and so there's probably room for all of it. But the bottom line, I think, is going to be, well, at least for me, is I'm going to try to get the best price I can, unless it's a book that I want to keep forever, you know, a picture coffee table book or something like that.
So for, like, the Green Valley Book Fair or Mom and Pop, how would you suggest, like, getting that out in the community that those bookstores are still around and that mm-hmm. we should be supporting them?
I don't know. I think they're doing okay promoting themselves. Green Valley Book Fair is pretty well known, and one of the benefits that they have, as opposed to something that maybe right just in downtown Harrisonburg, it's very easy to get off the interstate. People traveling long distances down up and down 81 make a point to stop in Green Valley Book Fair. So they get a lot of non-local traffic, so I think that's probably one of the things. So that might be something for a mom-and-pop bookstore, is to try to find a niche that appeals to a market that's broader than just your local people, and find a way to draw people in from outside the local community by having something really unique that people want to see, something that's different from the very glossy stores. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Now, do you compare, when you go to the Green Valley Bookstore, compare it to that when you were a child in the library, finding that new book, or is it a whole new experience because you are an adult?
I think it's a very different experience because usually I'm looking for books for other people. One of the things that's kind of fun about the Green Valley Book Fair, since I'm a grandmother for the last 2 years, I'm often looking for kids' books again. So I was doing that as a mom and a teacher, and haven't for a while looked at kids' books. So you have to be really careful, because I bought my granddaughter a book about Virginia, and I looked through it, and it was really cute, and I was like, oh, she's going to understand Virginia. Because it has something about the beach and something about the mountains, and then it had something about the natural bridge, and it called it like Rockford County or something instead of Rockbridge County, and I didn't notice. So I sent this book with a typo, and so you have to look for that kind of stuff. But I think the thrill of just looking through books and all of that is kind of the same. It's very much a browsing experience. I mean, you could spend a whole entire day in there and browse different topics and different genres and different books for different audiences. And so it's kind of like that. Just being in a place filled with books is pretty cool. So
if you had to create an independent bookstore, where would you place it? Would it be in Virginia, or would you pick a totally different place in the country?
Well, it would have to be in Harrisonburg, because I'm not leaving. not that I plan to, anyway. I think it would be kind of cool to have a neat bookstore downtown, if we don't. Do we have a bookstore downtown?
I think it's like a used bookstore.
Yeah,
I don't think it's very popular.
So that's what I thought you were talking about. And I was like, maybe there's something else I don't know about. downtown Harrisonburg. I think that would be a cool spot for a neat bookstore.
What would your atmosphere be like in the bookstore? Would it be like the coffee places that they have now, or to be more of a exciting, bright, vibrant room?
I think it would definitely have a local feel. So maybe, you know, some comfortable place to sit and talk to people or read quietly, but not a sort of hipster atmosphere. It would be more kind of a mellow, mature, I don't know, small town kind of feel.
Would you try to bring stuff from the community, like have like pictures of Harrisonburg before it was?
Yeah, I would definitely want, because I love history, as I mentioned. I love going to the restaurants that have, like, old photographs and stuff of the area, so I would definitely have stuff like that in there. And I think it would have a lot of books that have topics of local interest, gardening, biking, local history, things like that. Lots of books for kids. Something that would be, even though I said earlier you should reach out to a broader audience, but that would be a fun kind of atmosphere to have.
So if you could suggest one thing for listeners or students, how would you suggest like going about like picking bookstores so you can support the local franchises?
That is a good question. I don't know. I guess the best way to support books in the community is to be a patron of the library and to give money to the library, because then everyone has access. But I think Tell me the question again.
Just any advice that you'd give to students who want to support these local franchises.
Oh, to buy locally?
Yeah.
Oh, take a field trip to, definitely take a field trip to the Green Valley Book Fair, especially for students who are going to be teachers, because you can fill a backpack with books and spend $50 and have great books for your students to read. So I would recommend that to students as a way to patronize local business. And also, you know, when you go to places in, you know, when you're visiting places or when you're in downtown Harrisonburg, buy the little books on the local history to support the community and the authors that way, and to learn about the communities that you're visiting.
Well, I want to thank you for doing this interview, and I'm sure everyone will appreciate it.
Yeah. So what happens to all this?